Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Jay.
All right, Jim. So Kirill Kaprizov, 8 years, $136 million, staying with the Wild. Your thoughts?
I started to wonder if it was going to happen. The Wild desperately needed it to happen. You know, he maxed out on his salary, and now his future is secure. Guaranteed money is a big deal. You know, no matter what happens from now on, he's going to be a very wealthy Russian. So I think the Wild needed it more than he did, but found a way to get it done. And you know, now they have a fighting chance. You know, and now they have something of a future, even though they still have a lot of work to do to build around them.
Do you think the dollar amount, I mean, was it significantly different than the reported number that he turned down?
I think it was a little more. You know, listen, I'm in London. I'm not like wired into this stuff right now, but I think, you know, there are always tweaks you can make, guaranteed money, how it's laid out, you know, whether some of it's deferred. I mean, there are always little details that can be worked out. And when you have the hammer that Kaprizov had, his agent was going to use it for every little possible factor. You know, I haven't seen the full contract yet. Maybe he got some more, maybe he got some incentives. Maybe he got a little more guaranteed money, whatever it was, but you know, I mean, the other thing we know about big time negotiations is, you know, until there's a real deadline, usually things don't happen. And I think Kaprizov must have wanted it done before they actually opened this season. And that's the timing that it actually worked on.
Bill Guerin said in the news conference that good players want to play with good players. Do you believe that? Do you think that this will allow them to maybe get some better players in the roster?
Well, it's kind of a catch-22 there. So you have Kaprizov. I do think he's the kind of player that other players want to play with because he's not just a very talented scorer. He's also very unselfish, and he sets people up well. So I do believe that part of it. You also just gave him a lot of money, which limits the amount of money you can spend on other players. So, yeah, there will be people who want to play with him. Will they be people who want to play with him who the Wild really want and who they can afford to get? That has to be proven.
Jim, switching attention to the Vikings. The Vikings trying to help out, and this is exciting for us locally because Recore grad Cold Spring native Matt Woletzko has agreed to join the Vikings. Looks like practice squad for now. He was cut by the Cowboys this August. How is the offensive line looking right now?
Terrible. You know, we had a conversation with Kevin O'Connell here yesterday. I'm out at the team hotel right now. We just journeyed out from central London. It was about an hour and a half trip. And, you know, yesterday Kevin O'Connell was sitting there talking with local writers and saying, you know, the middle of that Steelers game, starting to wonder who might be available to play offensive line if you have one more injury. It might have been Josh Oliver, you know. So the fact that, you know, they need practice squad depth. They need depth overall. They need some people to get healthy. And frankly, what they need to do is survive this game and then have the bye week to kind of figure out who's actually going to be healthy in the near future here.
Jim, I suppose today is the first day that we're going to be able to see what they've got as far as injury reports. Do we know if J.J. McCarthy will try to practice at all today?
We haven't talked to anybody yet today. We're not going to talk to him. What time is 1:20? Probably 2 hours and 40 minutes from now is going to be our first access. And that I think they're going to start practice in about an hour and 10, hour 20 minutes. So we don't really know anything yet today. The way O'Connell talked yesterday when we were speaking with him, he made it sound, the way he phrased it was he's hoping that McCarthy can get back out on the practice field later this week. He did not make it sound like it was urgent. He did not make it sound like it was necessarily going to happen today.
Jim, based on, you know, trying to get him out there, I mean, that seems like that would, you know, getting him ready for after the bye week, realistic, or does it depend on how Carson Wentz plays?
It depends on how the ankle comes along. It also depends on how Wentz plays, both those things. I mean, so, you know, the better Wentz plays, the more they can take their time with McCarthy. And as I said, when Wentz got the starting job, if he plays great, you know, given that they really have no margin for error right now, if he plays great, they might ride him for a while. You know, they didn't bench McCarthy for a play. He's not playing because of the ankle, but once Wentz got in that job, if he plays brilliantly, then they'll have every reason to keep playing him as long as he's winning games. But he's coming off a loss. He's facing a very good Browns defense on Sunday. And he is, you know, he seems to get the ball out a little quicker than McCarthy, but he's probably not the athlete McCarthy is right now in terms of moving around. And who knows? You know, you never know with young quarterbacks what's going to click for them or when it's going to click. Maybe McCarthy dealing with what he dealt with in the Atlanta game, seeing how the speed of the game, seeing how Wentz is reacting to it now, you know, maybe this little rest, whether it ends up being 2, 3, 4, or 5 weeks, might end up helping him.
Jim, what is the strength of the Browns defense?
Myles Garrett. Now, listen, it's a good overall defense. They have good defensive backs. You know, Ward's a very good cornerback. So they have good secondary. It's a good overall defense. But Myles Garrett is what makes him special. He's just a phenomenal player. He's one of the best players in the NFL, regardless of position. And he's going up against an offensive line that it's going to have, unless I'm guessing that the Browns aren't going to just line Myles Garrett up from Christian Darrisaw all day and do the Vikings a favor. I'm guessing they're going to move him around and make him and help him attack some of the lesser players and some of the injury replacements. And that will be a major challenge. Kevin O'Connell likes running a very, you know, high tech, modern passing offense with a lot of people out on routes. I would encourage him to keep Josh Oliver in and basically, you know, find a way to block Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett could blow up this game.
Are the Browns easier to run or pass against?
You'd rather run against them. If you drop back, Myles Garrett might destroy you. So, and with it, you know, the Vikings are going to want to do what they plan to do and hope to do against the Steelers. You know, that first drive, Jordan Mason ran wild. He had a really excellent drive. They hadn't had the ineligible man downfield. They might have scored a touchdown on that drive. Who knows how that changes the game flow. They're going to want to do the same thing against the Browns, but I think the Browns have a better run defense than the Steelers, so probably more of a challenge.
Jim, are the Vikings more comfortable with Scott as the third down back, the passing down guy?
I mean, he is a really good receiver, and he's, you know, I'd heard he was a good receiver, but then you see it with your own eyes and you realize, yeah, he's really good. He also runs with power, so I just think he's a good back. I think they found something there. Jordan Mason has done nothing to, you know, not be the number one back under these circumstances. He ran the ball really well early in that game. And Scott probably is a really good third down back who can also run the ball. So, you know, that is the one thing that has gone really well for this team so far this year.
Is Aaron Jones going to be back after the bye?
They think so. It'll be interesting to see how they use these three, because Aaron Jones is still a very good player, and he wasn't running the ball as effectively as Jordan Mason earlier in the year. And now he's competition for the third down snaps. But, you know, he's still a valued and valuable veteran. They're not just going to get rid of him because a young player, you know, showed up well in a couple of situations. I think Jones still – I think Jones could lose snaps to Jordan Mason. But it'll be interesting to see if they start Aaron Jones as kind of a nod to his experience, or would they just go with Jordan Mason and then bring in Aaron Jones in situations. We just don't know what they're going to do there.
Jim, the baseball playoffs started yesterday. A lot of low-scoring games aside from the Dodgers and the Reds. What are your thoughts in the baseball playoffs? Any opinions on, you know, who you think is the team to beat this year?
I honestly, when the Twins aren't good, and especially me being over here, baseball playoffs just have not been on my radar. The Dodgers are so loaded, but they also have had stretches this year where they just didn't play very well. And the Dodgers have the most talent. They just do. It's very interesting that Mookie Betts has not had the year he's usually capable of. They seem kind of vulnerable, but, you know, the talent is there. I'm always intrigued to see, you know, what the Milwaukee Brewers will do. I mean, they had a great regular season. With a lower payroll than the Twins have, they had a great regular season, excellent farm system, really well-run organization. So, you know, if you're a Midwesterner and the Twins are out of it, they might be the team you pull for.
Jim, Nafisa Collier ripped into the WNBA and going right at the leadership, saying it's the worst leadership in the world. Any thoughts on that?
You know, that's hyperbole, but I understand where she's coming from. I have not been impressed with Kathy Engelbert. haven't been impressed with anything she's done, the way she's handled any of her press conferences. I'm just not impressed, period. So I'm kind of on Collier's side on this one. I don't think that Kathy seems to be the right person to move this thing forward. I'm not sure she's the right person to be negotiating this CBA. She seems to want the players to be grateful to her when she really hasn't done much. She kind of stepped in when women's basketball was on the rise and she's able to get a pretty good rights holder's fee from TV stations, but I don't think she's necessarily maximizing that, and she seems to want to take a lot of credit for it. So I think this has been brewing for a while, and Collier just taking it upon herself as a leader to say what basically all the players are thinking.
Jim, the Timberwolves are underway with training camp. They're going to play their first preseason game Saturday against the Denver Nuggets. Besides OKC, is Denver and the Wolves, I mean, are there other teams in the Western Conference you think are going to be tough contenders again this year?
I mean, I still think it's a very good and very good deep conference. And it's hard not for everybody to just assume that Oklahoma City is going to win the West again and maybe win another title. I mean, they're good. They're young. They survived, some injuries last year and still dominated the West. I mean, they are the chalk. You know, they're the easy team to pick. But sports are weird. You know, you don't know how success is going to affect some people. You don't know whether they're going to have key injuries or not. And I thought, even though the Oklahoma City certainly outplayed the Wolves last year, I also think the Wolves didn't play their best. So, you know, who knows what happens if they played their best. Maybe another year of cohesiveness with this core group, this basically, you know, top seven players back. Maybe that makes the difference. You know, Oklahoma City built up a lot of cohesiveness over the years. Maybe the Wolves can catch up in that regard. Denver gave Oklahoma City their toughest series of the playoffs. Jokic was brilliant. They still have a very competitive team. And, you know, it seems like the Clippers are an absolute mess right now, but they still have talent. It'll be interesting to see if San Antonio can come on strong now. Dallas with Cooper Flagg is going to be very interesting with the talent they've built up around him. I mean, there are a lot of interesting teams. Oklahoma City is the favorite, though.
All right, Jim, what do you got in your podcast?
So we have a Viking update show up. John Krasinski talking a lot about my experiences here in Dublin and London and what the team is going through right now. We'll have Jeff Dimes, Vikings and NFL Insider, out next week. We have John Krasinski's show from the Head Flyer Brewing, a big, long, wild, kind of a live show that was a lot of fun. And we have Chin Music with Roy Small and LaBelle Neal talking about Rocco Baldelli and who they might hire as manager. And everything's at TalkNorth.com or on your favorite podcast app.
All right, Jim. Thank you. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Thanks, Jack.
It's Jim Suhan, Star Tribune sports columnist, joining us each weekday morning at this time. Follow him on Twitter at SuhanStrib. Check out his latest column at the Star Tribune or his podcast at TalkNorth.com. Jim today joining us from London, where he's covering the Vikings. And Jim is brought to you by the Green Mill in downtown St. Cloud. Next on WJON, World of National News from ABC, followed by local news.